And now I'm going to turn things over to our president, Jerry, to conduct the business portion of our meeting.
Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome each one of you to our first annual meeting. We've been in existence nearly 30 years, just over 30 years, and this is the first annual one. Now, that's a little hard to believe, but that's what it is. Pat has covered my report to a good extent, and so I will not really read through what I was going to do, but I want to touch on a couple of things. One is that we have, that the purpose of the Historical Society are several. One is to archive and to make available records, historical records, records of the past. And if you come into the archives and you take a look at the index of what kind of material is there, you will find two or three different types of material. One is history of churches and conferences. We are the official depository for conference records at Pacific Northwest Mennonite Conference. That means that we have in our storage area past records of churches. Most of the records of churches are churches that are no longer in operation, and so forth. The second one is that we have a number of important personal paper collections. For example, Hope Lind published a book some years back, and the working papers of that book are in our archives. And they are a lot of boxes. I indexed every one of them. And so I know what each of the pages is that's in there. Those are important when people in the future will come and see what Hope did. Another example, a young lady that I got to know from this community who works in San Francisco at this time. And she was writing a paper for her school on the use of religious symbols. And she came and she asked for materials on the head covering, of all things, and used it in her graduate paper, and we were able to provide the setting for her to research some of this. And the third group of documents we have are institutional, and of that I'm reminded of Drift Creek. Everyone knows Drift Creek Camp. I asked Louise the other day how long she's going to be at it yet, but she said she was, up to about 1970? She has been cataloging all of the records of Drift Creek Camp, and that's a long, big bunch of papers. Not only do we store the material, but we make it available. And what we decided at the beginning was that we would try to integrate our records in with the larger Mennonite world. And I'm really grateful that the Mennonite Historical Library in Goshen, Indiana, took us under their wing and gave us access to their system called the Archon system, which up till recently has been housed in Chapel College in North Newton, Kansas. And so we have been able to access computer space with them. So when you go to our website, pnmhs.org, and you enter it, you will see that it is being housed at Duffel College, and you will find the indexes for everything we have in our archives. So if you want to find out about those Schwarzendrubers that you were talking about, just put the word Schwarzendruber in, and you'll find what we have in our archives. The other piece of a lot of information that we have are genealogical books, and I'm my family's historian, and so I know something about genealogy and research, and it is tremendously important to have the kind of resources we have. The Hostetler family, the Amos Yoder family. There are two large volumes of my family, the Barkman family, which are Russian Mennonite in background. And so that's the kind of access we have. And I'm amazed at the number of people who come into the archives when we're open and ask for information about their families. Now, we have a little bit of a problem sometimes at the archives, because I come from the Mennonite Brethren Russian background, and some of the others come from the Mennonite church. So if they want to know something about the Russian Mennonites, I'm the expert now in our neck of the woods. Fortunately, we have also online, and you can access it, you have access to what is called Grandma 7. Grandma is a database of Russian Mennonite names and their descendants. There are 2.3 million names in the database. They're indexed. So if we put my name in, you can actually find my birth information and my grandfather and great-grandfather. That's a tremendous resource. And so we have that accessible to us on our website as well as at the center here. The other thing, of course, is books. Pat mentioned it. We have approximately 2,750 books, including pamphlets, and a large number of church periodicals. We have a complete set of the Gospel Herald, and they're bound volumes. They're not loose. They're big bound volumes. So if you want to do research in the Gospel Herald, it's there. We have all sorts of books, and they are most all available for checking out. There are a few books that are old and rather fragile. I discovered in one of the archive boxes that we have an 1896 Ausbund. Do you know what the Ausbund is? The Amish hymn book. It's in pretty bad shape, so it's going to stay in the box because I would hate to see that being lost. Well, I won't say much more about our public meetings, excepting that we will have one coming up, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. Our society continues to publish a semi-annual newsletter, Our Heritage, and Melanie Springer's Mock is the editor, and I want to thank her for the job you've done. I want to thank all the volunteers who work every week at the center. And usually it's open, it's always open on Tuesday, most times on Wednesday. So I'm going to ask them, I'm going to name them, and I want them to stand because I want you to see who's here. Margaret Chedler is archivist, and she's been basically in that role almost from the very beginning. Let's see, who else? John Gingrich joined a little bit more recently than Margaret did. John has been in charge of the computerizing, of keeping the website up, and building the indexes, and so forth. Shirley Martin. Shirley is the receptionist. She's the first one you see coming in the door. Louise Gingrich is not here, but Louise is doing work, as I said, on the Drift Creek records, financial records, and so forth. Ruth Kickner. Ruth is back there, and she does a number of things. She's keeping up the library. Violet Burley is retired now. She was our librarian up until about a year ago, and that's our real need now is for a librarian. It could be a person who doesn't even have to come once a week, but we do need someone with that library. I mean, 2,800 books, that's a lot of... You know, and we keep adding more books, and we have to keep shifting. John and I keep shifting books back and forth and all of that stuff. So I really want to thank those people. And if there is someone who I have not thanked, I consider yourself thanked now. And so if you would like to volunteer, please call. And we'll find you a role at the archives. Let's take now our budget. I just want to go through a couple of items on the budget just to show you where we're at and how things look with the society. And it's the page that's stapled together. There are actually four sides. I'm not going to look at every number, but there are a couple of numbers I want you to look at. First of all, on the first page, the very first page of this, you will see that our income is approximately $5,000. This is the new budget for this year. That includes items like some contributions, event incomes, miscellaneous, and a significant amount of membership dues and so forth. The total expenses are $9,100. Now, you can understand, even the most, the poorest of us can understand you can't spend 9 out of 5 and live very long. And so it's a question that we're going to need to be working on as a society and as a board to figure out how to get through this. The one item which you will see is the very bottom line item for the total, and that's the $1,175. As Pat indicated, when we started building the archive building, we had to remove the old implement shed that stood not far from, well, in fact, it stood right where our building stands now. And the agreement was with the church that we would pay for the removal and the building of a new one. And so we moved the site further, actually closer to the church. And that cost was about $9,000, about $8,800. We have paid off about half of it, little less than half, with the agreement that we pay the rest over a 5-year period. And so we have factored in 20% basically of the outstanding amount per year for the next 5 years in terms of an expense. Okay? The next page is basically showing you how our budget for next year compares to the budget this year, or the actual expenditures of last year. And you can look over that at your leisure time. And then the next two pages, which is a series of boxes like this, those are an explanation of the items in our operating budget comparison. So, and if you have any questions about this and information, the person you want to talk to is Don Bacher. And I think, if I'm correct, Don's address is on. I know it's on the donation sheets that are part of your pack. And I think there might be a telephone number there also. If not, call the center here, and we'll forward the message to Don. But Don's our treasurer, and he can answer your question. Okay, are there any questions about finances? Okay, if not, let's continue. The next page in your packet is a ballot, and I will go over this ballot quickly, and then I will ask for a motion on it. At present, we have these individuals who are the continuing members of the board. Okay. Myself, Gloria Nussbaum, Don Bacher, Ray Kaufman, Goldie Hierley, Melanie Springer Mock, and Margaret also. Margaret is the archivist, and in our past, the archivist has served on the board of directors. And so those are the present board of directors. In addition, in our new bylaws, which we're going to ask you to approve this afternoon, we have indicated that we could have up to 12 members of the board. And we really would like to get as close to that. So we are proposing 2 new members for your acceptance today to the board of directors, and they are John Gingrich and Patricia Hershberger. And so I would entertain a motion to elect those two persons to the board of directors. So moved. Is there a second? Second, okay. Any discussion? All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, now the next one, before we go to the bylaws, I want to say something about this. This is new. This is brand spanking new, just off the press on Thursday. We have put together a celebration. As you know, MCC Festival, I'm never quite sure what to say, because when I was treasurer of the festival, it was MCC Fall Festival. That's how I knew it. Now they've changed all the words around, so I don't know what it is. But we are going to have on the 19th of April, on Sunday, at the Lebanon Mennonite Church, a celebration. The first Fall Festival meeting was 1985. Now, who knows where it was? Anybody know where the first Fall Festival was?
Riprail
Fairgrounds, Polk County. It was there for a period of, what was it, 3 years, 2 years. And then it was moved to the Linn County Fairgrounds, where it was for, well, it still is, in fact. Okay, so over 30 years. And now, the second number I want to ask you, this is a little quiz. How much money has come through Fall Festival in 30 years? What's your guess? How much? Someone come up with a guess. That's very close, Larry. $2.44 million. That's a lot of money. And so what this celebration wants to do is to celebrate people who have been faithful. And so we're going to have a speaker, and then we're going to have some of the people who have been involved with Fall Festival for many years, and then we're going to have some slides, some pictures of past events and so forth. So put this on your calendar, and you'll hear more about this as we go along. Okay, the last item on our agenda is one that could take a little bit, and I first have to say something of apology, a word of apology. I printed two letters out when you got your packet, and what I didn't realize is I had must have hit a button on the control panel of the copy machine I was using. And what it did was it printed the thing and cut off about a quarter inch off the right margin. And so what you've got are part words and some words missing. And I really had to scramble because on the first sheet of notifying of this meeting, I left the date off. So I think the gist of it is there. The reason we're doing this is because we have never had, over 30 years of operation, a set of bylaws. We have papers of incorporation, which are required by the state of Oregon and the Internal Revenue Service, but we have never really had a statement of how we would operate. And so it was agreed by the board that we would be working on this. So the last couple of years we have been working on this, and we have come to the finish of our work. And so we are asking you this afternoon for your approval of these bylaws. If they are approved, then we will file them with the state of Oregon, and they will be our method of operation. And in essence, what we have done is we have put into writing the way we have operated in the past years, at least the years I've been associated with the society. Okay, let me just go through it real quick and point out a couple of things, and then we'll answer questions. The first off, the name of the corporation is Oregon Mennonite Historical and Genealogical Society. Now, why is that different than PNMHS? The OMHGS is the legal name filed with the state of Oregon. And we decided, the board decided, you know, really isn't worth the hassle to change that. And so we're going to leave it that way. The legal official name, if you go to the state registry of businesses and organizations, you'll find it there under OMHGS. The Pacific Northwest Mennonite Historical Society is a DBA. Doing business as, a fictitious business name is what it's called. And we maintain that. So we operate really, we're trying to operate normally under the PNMHS name, although the older name is behind it and is the legal name. So that's the name. The principal office is here on Whiskey Hill Road, and its purpose is stated. And then Article 3 defines who the board of directors are, and as you see, it is not less than 6 and not more than 12. And then it goes on to talk about what offices are on the board, how people are removed from the board if they need to be, etc. Article 4 talks about the officers of the Historical Society. And principally they are the president, the vice president, the secretary, and the treasurer. And then Article 5 allows the board to appoint committees as necessary for the work. Article 6 gives the board the fiscal responsibility of managing the business, the dollar side of the organization, including an audit. It sets the fiscal year beginning December 1st of every year and so forth. Article 7 talks about auxiliary boards. Article 7 has to do with the issue of indemnification. If the board of directors is doing its business in a reasonable fashion, as is the normal practice. If they land in trouble because of that, it is agreed that the society will reimburse the members for legal costs and liability costs. And any more with organizations, that's an important thing to have in the bylaws. Article 9 talks about amendments. And what it basically says is that if we want to amend these bylaws, it will be done in a meeting like this, or a special meeting called, at which only this matter of amendment will be discussed. And then the last article in the bylaws is the distribution of assets upon dissolution. If it comes to the point where this society is going to dissolve, the bylaws require that we give the assets, the building, whatever is in the building, to Mennonite Church USA. In other words, Mennonite Church in Goshen would take possession of the archives and so forth, most likely then be integrated with the archives there. This last statement is also in the Articles of Incorporation. Any questions? Okay, if there are no further questions, yes?
Are each of the members supposed to have a copy of that?
They are supposed to, yes. Did you not get a mailing?
Yeah, I got the one that was cut off.
Okay, that I need to restrict.
There were six copies. There was one on each table.
Yeah.
So there are six complete copies flying around here. If you need a complete copy, it'd be more than...
Is it on the website? Will it be on the website?
Yes, John. We can put it on the website. If you want a copy and you didn't get one, let me know, and I'll get you a copy. Otherwise, we'll assume it's okay. All right, are there any further questions? If not, I'll call for a motion to accept the bylaws. Okay, Larry? Second? Any further discussion? Okay, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say aye. Okay, that is all we have for today. I thank you all for coming. Please feel free, if you have any questions about the society, to call us and call me or leave a message on the voicemail at this center, and we'll get back to you.